If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And today we are getting back to basics. We're getting back to our Sister Wives Rewind, Season 10, Episode 1, Catfishing Fallout. And before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about coming back to Sister Wives and how it's, I kept trying to find an analogy, but it was like, it's almost like a nice warm sweater that you forgot you had, yeah. Or you know what I mean? A pair of pants or sweatpants that feel real good. And you're like, oh, I didn't know those were there.
Yeah, I forgot.
And you put
about
it on
those.
And it feels good. Feels comfortable.
Well,
feels
yeah,
like because, you see me.
Because Sister Wives, you know, seasons 1 through 15 were, you know, fun.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know.
For the most part.
Word.
It's 17. But, 17 was when Christine left. What happened 16?
I thought it was 16.
No, I thought it was 17, but I could be
wrong.
Oh,
well, 16 is when she planted the seed, where she was like, you know, what does the nanny do? You know, like,
oh,
it was,
okay.
It was, she was fed up with his BS.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's when it started to turn dark. And when he wanted Janelle to kick Gabe and Garrison out of the house,
oh, yeah,
and all that kind of, like, that's when Cody, COVID, it was COVID, where Cody lost his mind, mm-hmm, and just became like a total monster. But prior to that, you're like, yeah, Cody is a complete goofball, but I mean, mm-hmm, this is much lighter,
yeah,
than what we've been used to. And I've forgotten, because at the end of season 20, it was like, oh, I'm exhausted,
mm-hmm,
just exhausted by Cody.
Yeah, by all of
it. So yeah, it is good to go back and remember your roots and why you started watching to begin with, you know?
Yes, yes. We needed, yes. We needed just a little Cody break, but now we're back and we're back to our rewind. So, and the other thing too, was that when we were doing our rewind, we really left at a pivotal time. That was the other thing. We were so sick of Cody that we left in the middle of the catfishing story.
But
like, that's how bad it was.
I thought we stopped because a new season started.
Okay, maybe then, it was that. I can't remember what the reasons anymore.
We were so exhausted by the new season that we didn't want to go back and pick up where we left off because we'd forgotten that old yes. Sister Wives is good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes, very excited to be back.
Yes. Well, and in typical, I mean, I think this episode was 2 to 3 hours long. I don't know how long it was.
It was very long.
I don't know if it was two episodes mushed together. I have no idea. But, and then of course they had to do a lot of like last season on and then coming up on. But essentially what do people need to know at this point? The last season ended with them going to Alaska. Mm-hmm. And Caleb came and visited and asked Cody for Maddie's hand in marriage. Mm-hmm. And Mary was needed to tell everyone something and didn't know what was going on. And Robin's pregnant. So that's where we left off.
And Mary didn't tell. She was going to tell everyone at that last night dinner, but she chickened out and she was just kind of rambling on and no one knew what the hell was happening or what.
Yeah.
Anything. So,
let's start from the top. At the beginning, all the kids are playing in the cul-de-sac. Life is good. And everyone's talking about how Maddie has a beau now. Oh my God. And that there's all this whispering about Maddie's going to come home and visit. And this whole thing really irritates me. Where was it Cody who said to Caleb, like, you know, when you guys get married, I'll turn her over to you.
Like, yeah, he said that at the when
in Alaska.
In Alaska, yeah. Yeah, so, that's a bit much. I mean, but what do you expect? But when they show the flashback to them in Alaska and Caleb asking him for mm-hmm. his permission, Cody, I thought his head was going to explode. He was so mm-hmm. happy. He was smiling, grinning ear to ear. I mean, God, he is in love with Caleb.
Yeah, his man crush with Caleb, it was weird towards the end of the episode. I'm like, oh, Cody's playing it cool here. Because you know he wants to jump in Caleb's arms at the end. But the beginning was like painful to watch.
Well, yeah, and this has always been a theme with him is his desire for male friendship mm-hmm. and the approval mm-hmm. of other men. Mm-hmm. And I think Dr. Adam, he did a whole deep dive on this. And a lot of it is related to Cody's not good relationship with his father mm-hmm. and needing male approval. You know, because he'll just bend over backwards for these male friends of his. And remember when, I forget the guy's name, but I was the guy that he went on his mission with. When he graduated from high school, and it was at Robin and Cody's wedding. No, Ken is the guy who's with the boat that Christine didn't like. I forget this guy's name, but he was his mission partner. And he invited him to his and Robin's wedding. Mm-hmm. And he could only, he had to leave like in the middle of the reception or something. He couldn't stay the whole time. And Cody described it as basically like the worst part of the day. Like it was like it devastated him that his friend had to leave early mm-hmm. and it, you know, kind of cast a cloud over. I mean, he was dead serious. Like it really affected him. He was really hurt by that. He just wanted this man to stay so badly and dance with him in the mosh pit or whatever they're, you mm-hmm. know, I mean, his feelings for these male friends are so intense.
Yes, they are.
What's that? I mean, what's your analysis of that?
My analysis is, you know, and I think it's. I know it might seem easy to pick it out, but we did learn that people thought that Cody might be gay, And I don't think that my guess would be in 1980, whatever, mm-hmm. Montana, Wyoming, whatever state they were in, to be gay would be the worst thing ever. And I do wonder if his, you know, the way he was, that I don't know if he's attached to all these men because he feels like he has something to prove to the people in his life, to the world, to all of this. But they always talk about how he's around all these women all the time. I'm like, but you have a lot of sons, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I just kind of feel like it's not like you're living on a female compound, mm-hmm. you know, and you're the only man from a mile around. Like, there are other men in your universe. So why? Yeah. Why do you need the love and attention of these men? It doesn't feel sexual to me. It feels more like this, I need your approval.
A validation. Yeah, because I think in high school, he didn't get male validation. I think he got teasing. He got teased, or maybe he got the boys, you know, and he was a wrestler, you know, he wore that
singlet.
You know, wrestling is a weird sport. So I think he was teased. Mm-hmm. And he's just a goofball. He's just goofy. Yeah. And when they had that reunion, that little mini high school reunion, yeah, that's all people talked about was, you know, how goofy he was.
Well, and I also think, right, some people, I think Cody just naturally probably does better with women in terms of conversations, relationships. I think it was easier for him maybe to have and to maintain female relationships when he was younger. Mm-hmm. But what happens with that is then the male relationship, that becomes the thing that is so, you know, there's a lot of the thing that you can't achieve. And then there's all this anxiety around it. And, you feel like you have a lot to prove, you know, you're, this is something, it's important to him.
Mm-hmm.
This love of Caleb is, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is
it's
a
exhausting.
Lot.
I was exhausted by it. And I was exhausted for Caleb. I was like, oh my God. They were so happy when he finally left.
And so we also learned that Mary starts talking about, like, saying that this year is, you know, she's been talking to someone who she thought was a friend, potentially falling in love, speaking on the phone. But it wasn't a man. It was a woman pretending to be a man. And then we go back to this flashback in Alaska. And the funniest thing about this is Mary is like, you know, she's just in this terrible state of, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go. And then you pan over and Robin is going to town on some butternut squash soup.
Oh, she
like all the whole time she's just,
stop. Yeah.
Yes. Getting the soup in, and like everyone else stopped eating, and they're mm-hmm. like, what is happening? What's going on?
Well, she's pregnant. Maybe she's like, I got to eat this or I'm going to be nauseous and throw up. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was not going to stop for this story.
No.
No.
So then I guess we then learn that she didn't finish the story, but she, I think, made it worse because she. Mm-hmm. She kind of teed up the story and they're all wondering like, what are you dying? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And so then once they got home from Alaska, she told him everything that happened. And
Tell Robin first? Because later in the episode,
later in the episode, we learned that she tells Robin first, but she just, this was her kind of blanket statements.
Mm-hmm.
But that Mary apparently had been distant, cold, didn't want to spend time with the family. Like this had been this thing that had been happening, progression. Which comes back around at the end when the whole family talks with Nancy, because all I kept thinking is that you're all acting so surprised by this, but you knew something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of you could see what was going on. You know, they all act like, how could this happen? Oh my God. It's like, I don't know. I think anybody could have pieced this together.
I feel like that whole scene with Nancy was very performative, especially on Cody's part. He was the most compassionate and loving towards Mary I've ever seen him be.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what's happening here? Like,
yes.
It was weird.
So we learn that Maddie has been visiting Caleb in Montana, but she, you know, and this is Cody's like, but, you know, she comes back here and she's happy for the first day because she gets to talk about Caleb, but then she gets blue because she starts missing Caleb. It's like, like, give me a break, Cody. Maybe she's annoyed by you.
Well, but, no, at this point, okay, I thought, so I believe it was season 10, right?
Yep.
I think it was season 8. Where Maddie goes to college in Utah. And remember, they move her into her...
Yeah, into that apartment.
Apartment, all that. So is she just... And I know... I think she dropped out after... I think she just went that 1 year. Because I was reading that she dropped out like right after she got engaged. So I'm... Is this like the summer after her freshman year of college? And she's...
I don't know.
She's got all her stuff at home. She's like, she brought all her stuff home or something.
Yeah. It's weird because I thought when she moved into that place, the apartment, there were flowers waiting for her. And I thought that maybe that was like the first signs that she was seeing someone, which is Caleb.
Yeah, I think so. Because she had, and then shortly thereafter, I think she announced that they were dating. Because, yeah, when everyone went to go, they were traveling somewhere to Nauvoo or something. Mm-hmm. And they stopped and visited her. Mm-hmm. And she had these flowers out. And someone said, oh, who are the flowers from? And she's just like, no one. She totally blew it off. Like, she did not want to talk about it. So I'm sure they were from Caleb, obviously.
So because Maddie's coming home, Janelle is hosting this dinner. But in true Janelle fashion... Is she going to grill burgers? Is she going to, what is she going to do? No. She basically said, there's a burger for everyone. Pick off the stuff that you don't want. So basically she
got it from somewhere, right?
Yeah. She went to Five Guys or two. I mean, it looks like pretty grilled, you know, they look good, but I mean, she just
only one for everyone.
And maybe if you're lucky, you get some chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that reminds me too, because I was trying to find this. I was going to pull this up. You know, as I've mentioned many times, I am on Janelle Brown's mailing list. And so I get text messages from her all the time saying that there's this, come to this seminar. And of course, the joke is I always get the text messages 45 minutes after the entire thing has started. And she has yet to fix this. Okay. So now I get an email from her, no text message, an email. So it said, you know, she writes this email like, hey, friend. And the other thing too, is this, the subject line, tomorrow is the masterclass for women ready for more. It's like, you can't even capitalize T for tomorrow. Anyway. So she goes, you go through this and in the second sentence, there's a percentage sign, time, percentage time. So what that means is, so these are, you know, we've all
they're
part
placeholders.
Of this. Like, it's a placeholder. It's a, you know, MailChimp, these email services where, and it's like, yeah, I know Janelle and I are not really friends and that she didn't send this to me, but it just shows you how sloppy it is. Nobody caught this. Nobody caught that you, because it says tomorrow at... What time? I don't know what time. Mm-hmm. There's no way, but it's this fucked up thing. Then you look and you go, oh, okay, you feel this way. And then you look at this masterclass is for you if, and then, you know, one line, no spacing. The next line, there's spacing. The words are off. I mean, truly, truly, like she just woke up and did it really fast. Like the spacing is off. No one even looked to see how any of this would land on a mobile device.
Do you think she's really doing this all herself?
No, but she has someone who is
whoever's doing it for her can't do it. They don't know what they're doing.
And but she's not watching it. That's right. The other part of it too is that you either need to seriously, and trust me, I've been down this road too, where you think someone's getting it together and they're not. And you're like, oh crap, now I got to watch everything they're doing like a hawk. And it's very great when you have someone who's a real, really on it. But even still, even I have, you know, Andy, who's amazing. I still check what he's doing. You know, I mean, you have to have someone else's eyes on it. So it's just, it's so sloppy. So sloppy.
Well, yeah, and how many months have you been getting these texts where the time is wrong? Like,
I have been getting these texts, I will tell you.
You know, a million people have complained about it. It's been months.
It's had to be. I just kept waiting for the thing to, someone to figure it out.
They haven't fixed it in how many months?
The first time I got it, because this is when it first happened, December.
Yeah.
So we're in May, the beginning of December, December 4th. So all of December. So we're now talking about, we're in month 6 of her desperately trying to sell this coaching package, these coaching things. And I think they said, well, let's try something new. Let's email everybody. And then the event's supposed to be live. So there's no replays, no recordings. So if you want to be part of it, you have to sign up. What time is it? I don't know.
It's already over.
Well, it is tomorrow. That much we know. But the part that is perplexed, but I don't know what the time is. So then I have to go over here to register. I'm coming over here to register to see. Join TV personality. Also, the masterclass is 30 minutes, which is fine. It's tomorrow tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And in the last hour, about 10 people have signed up. So there we go.
Well, maybe you need to sign up and do a little more, see what she's talking about. Yeah. Are you able to attend tomorrow at 5?
I don't know. I have to look. I don't think so. Maybe.
Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, because I don't want to slam her. I don't want to criticize it, but I think she's in over her head a little bit.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is that something very telling, she said something, this was at the end of the episode, they did this season on Sister Wives and they showed a bunch of clips and so they're talking about, trying to repair their relationship with Mary because they realize how effed up she is. And Janelle says that, she realizes that she has to fix her relationship with Mary, but that vulnerability is the hardest thing in the world for her to do. And she just hates it. And and I'm thinking, oh, okay, Miss Life Coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone who's spent their entire life up until, this isn't that many years ago, feeling that being vulnerable is the hardest thing in life for her to do.
Yep.
Is now trying to sell herself as a life coach. And I'm like, wow. That didn't age well.
Well, and this is the whole issue with life coaching that creates such a problem is that in the therapy world, like there are so many stop points where it's like, no, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let you do this. And in some ways, I always felt like it was so restrictive, but looking back, it's like, oh, thank God, because she's trying to do something. She's trying to bite off more than she can chew. She's trying to sell. She wants to make 6 figures from all of this stuff. And I don't blame her. I understand it, but you have no... what are you selling? You have no idea what you're really selling. You're just, you're selling that being in your 50s is a difficult time of your life. And, you know about it because you're in it. It's like, that's not what people want. Do you know what I mean? It's like, people want, I talk about young people, not because I'm a young person, but because I've spent a lot of time studying it and talking about it and meeting with it. And I'm sorry, I've sat across from hundreds, thousands of young people, and I don't think I'd feel comfortable doing this. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah. And like, I mean, obviously I've known you your whole life. You have always been vulnerable. You were vulnerable as a child.
Yes. Like, I laid it all out there for people.
Yes.
For better,
maybe
for worse.
A little too much sometimes, but
okay.
Yeah, no, it's, I think, not everyone's meant to do this. I think with these kind of soft skills, are, as they call them, are, it's kind of like you either have it or you don't. I think you can work on it to a certain degree. But yeah, Miss Teflon, Queen Janelle.
Yeah. Well, not even that. I mean, I feel like I've found ways to use the vulnerability in different ways, and it's morphed and all of that. But Yeah, because basically what you're saying to us is your entire life, you think that someone who's vulnerable is weak. Mm-hmm. And now you're realizing, oh, vulnerability is a good thing. Okay, that's great. But in some ways, it's like an alcoholic just getting sober saying, okay, I'm going to open up a treatment center, mm-hmm. you know, a year later. It's like, you know, okay, explore that with yourself a little bit. Work with individuals for a while. Do, you know, do a lot of other things. I have no idea. I'll try. She's doing another one next Tuesday, but.
Well, I'm just real curious. Like, what is she talking about?
Well, you can sign up for it. You want me to forward it to you?
I don't want to get all these texts.
See, you don't want to get on the list.
No.
Okay. So Janelle has put zero time or effort into this dinner. And then Maddie comes in and she holds up her finger and everyone sees the ring and everyone's excited. And, you know, when's the wedding? Oh, June 4th. They already picked out a day. You know, they want to get married in northern Wyoming, right? It was northern Wyoming.
Yeah, I think so. Because
he lives in Montana, but they want to get married in Wyoming. Yeah. Okay.
Billings, where's Billings?
Billings is in Montana.
Right. And so she's moving up there to this is another thing that was so transparent, was that he lives in Billings. Mm-hmm. She's moving to Billings. Mm-hmm. And she's just going to live in this little apartment. Mm-hmm. By herself, mm-hmm. while he stays, I don't know where. They're putting on this facade of...
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is where is he? Is he on the same property? Is this like, did you just find her a room? Like, how does all this work? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he lives next door. I don't know. I mean, yeah, we don't know. They're very vague about all that.
So when Cody heard that the wedding was going to be in northern Wyoming, he was so excited because, like, great, Caleb and I can go fishing together and look at venues.
And I think he was serious.
No, yeah, he was very serious about that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very, very serious. And then everyone says, oh, God, Cody, you know, like, you got to be kidding me. You know what? You guys are going to go and look for venues without us, you know, Janelle says. And he was like, well, but I need my alone time with Caleb. I forget how he worded it, but that's basically what it was. He wants his alone time with Caleb. Yeah.
But it's just so odd that that's your first thought, mm-hmm. was, oh, you know, this, mm-hmm. we can combine a fishing trip together.
Well, this whole episode with this stuff with Maddie and Caleb, Cody was making it all about himself.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, all about himself. Oh, you know, and then his little pipe dream that somehow Maddie's going to convince Caleb to move back with...
move
back to Las Vegas together. And it's like, well, they do end up doing that. But, I mean, at this point, that's unrealistic. I don't even think Maddie is interested in living in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, Cody is just delusional about this.
Well, in true dad fashion, he starts throwing out ideas. He's like, hey, we can rent a campground and then we can have it there. I mean, Maddie, and you know, it's just like, you've got to be kidding me here. It's, which I understand, like, no woman wants to get married in a camp, you know, camping.
Yeah, let's all camp. Camp out before.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. You're going to get ready for your wedding in a tent? Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that got vetoed by all the women. So that was the end of that. That's all I have. Is that all I have for that? Yeah. He just wants to spend more time with Caleb. The next scene is they have to convert Solomon's room. We really spent a lot of time on this. Mm-hmm. Solomon has a room that basically is like a playroom, but he does sleep in, I guess, in his own bed in their room. And so the baby needs a place because I guess there's an upstairs, downstairs. So the older kids must be upstairs. So mm-hmm. they want to keep the baby downstairs. So, you know, Solomon's going to have to make some space. And that's pretty much it. And
I don't even think Solomon cares because I don't think he even sees that as his toys are in there, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't see that as his bedroom. He sees his parents' room as his bedroom because he sleeps in there every night. And, you know, I highly doubt that he sleeps in that bed. Look, my daughter slept with me till she was like in junior high.
Yeah.
Off and on.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be times where she'd sleep in her own room for a while. But and they talked about that. Like if you're a single parent for any amount of time, yeah, your kids gravitate towards your bed because, you know, they want to be close to you and they can, you know, it's like, it just happens. It happens very easily. And I think more people co-sleep than are willing to admit. And in fact, it's the norm in outside of the United States.
I mean, Max slept with me for several months when he was first diagnosed with anxiety and depression because he was having panic attacks. And it was like, he didn't want to be by himself. Mm-hmm. And then, but he was so big, we had to kick Steve out. So Steve slept in Max's bed. And Max and I, but you know, it ends. Like he's not still in the bed with us. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's everybody's panic is this will never end. And it's like, you know, no, eventually, you know, kids want, they go, they move on.
But haven't people talked about, because remember then when, after Ariella was born, she then I think also joined in the bed and they talked about how she was a night owl and up all night and always in their bed. And so I think, and I'm not judging them for this, but I think it was a lot.
I'm sure.
So anyway, he doesn't care about his bedroom, but yeah, it was kind of annoying because this whole episode, it was just like, baby sister, where's baby sister? We're going to go see baby sister. We share your room with baby sister. And Solomon is just kind of like, what? Like,
how old is he? 2, 3?
Oh, he's two-ish, I think. You know,
well, the scenes with him and Truly on the couch together were very cute. They were very, very cute. But, you know, I can't remember. Then they had some of the teenagers talking about it. And it was, I wrote this down because this is what Garrison said. It was all about like the sleeping arrangements. And Garrison was like, this is their problem. And he's absolutely right.
I know. Why is the producer asking him what he thinks about?
They were asking the four teens, like him, how they all had to share rooms and how and all this stuff. And it's like, and Garrison was very much like, yeah, they're going to, you know, that's on them. I'm out of here. It's like, okay, you go, Garrison.
Psych Legal Pop will be right back after these messages. Yeah, well, because I think it was like, because like Robin seems to act like them sharing a room is some terrible thing. Like everyone has to have, should have their own room. Because, you know, she's now living large, you know.
Yeah.
She likes this upgraded lifestyle. And I think that's what they were asking Garrison about. And he's like, well, we all shared bedrooms. Like that's normal, which it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they always talk about how Robin treats her kids differently than they were treated. And there's this, you know, I think they think those kids are soft.
Yeah. Well, they are.
They are.
This then we just talked about this. This brought up this whole issue of, if you have your partner in your bed every third night or fourth night, or in Robin's case, every night,
every night.
That people are going to fall into rhythms and that, and then Cody keeps talking about how, like, I always feel like the kid's always sad that I'm there and I always feel like I'm not welcome and I'm not wanted and woe is me. And, you know, again, it's always about like how this impacts him,
right?
How he feels. It's like, and Savannah's being misplaced and she is a little kid and she is going to be like, I don't want why are you taking it personally? You're an adult.
Exactly. You're disrupting her schedule. Exactly. Cody cannot even I was talking about how Cody used to be so much better. Now I'm second guessing that statement. I'm out of my mind because I was so long. Now I'm remembering. But yeah, it's like He is. He's everything I forget what I was even going to say, but you know what I mean.
Everything
is about him. He does not think about these kids' feelings. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always about how it affects him. So yeah. We learned that Maddie found an apartment in Montana and she's moving ASAP. And everyone's like, oh, Maddie wants to leave right away. It's like, yeah, she wants to start a life. Like, why does she want to? She's going to linger around Vegas to do what? To do what? You know? So Caleb's there to help her. He comes, he brings her flowers. Cody comes bounding out of that house. And I swear to God, I thought he was going to grab the flowers.
You shouldn't have.
I really do think he saw Caleb with those flowers. And I think for a moment wanted to be Maddie. Because he was, did you see him? Like, oh my God. Yes. You know, he was
He ran to him and to embrace him.
But Maddie got the first hug. And then Cody got the second hug. And then Cody says to him, oh man, I want to see your big fat truck. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. What an innuendo. Like,
oh, I know. You know, this is something someone's writing on Grindr to someone else. I want to see your big fat truck.
Yes. There's probably, porn by that name.
Fat truck. Porn.
Big fat truck.
Oh, God.
Oh, he is just beside himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that we learned that it had been 10 days since Maddie had seen him and 2 months, I guess, since Cody had seen him. And then Cody gets into this whole thing about wanting to be in the truck because he needs to get to know him better. And so he asks them, well, so since you have your truck, you know, since we're all going, then maybe Caleb and I can just ride together, just the two of us. And then Maddie and Janelle can ride together. And they're all looking at each other. Even Caleb's like, oh my God.
He's like, no, please, somebody help me.
He wants to spend some time, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm. This isn't normal.
And then we get Garrison again. And Garrison's like, yeah, Dad really likes Caleb. Not sure if Caleb likes Dad. this is why Garrison is so great. Like he just sums it all up perfectly. He's like, yeah, he likes him, but I don't know if the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, he's the Greek chorus of the show.
And so then the other thing is that night Maddie wanted to introduce Caleb to one of her best friends, Desi, at a restaurant so that they can all, you know, Desi's never met this guy. She's been talking to him. And so, they're all talking about that. And Cody basically invites himself, like no asking, oh, I'd like to come. No, nothing. He springs it on. And I think that is when Christine and Janelle were like, I guess we got to go too, or this is going to look real weird.
Right. Yeah. I mean, come on. This is her best friend. She's never met Caleb before. This is important. Two of the most important people in her life. And Cody cannot see that. He cannot respect that. He has to go because more time with Caleb, you know?
And so then his ADD kicks in because Robin's getting a new couch or new furniture. And so it sounds like she's giving it to Maddie, but the couch is broken because the bottom, you know, one of the legs is off. So Cody decides right then and there is the time to fix the couch. Not one person is for this at all. But Cody just drops everything, makes everybody, this is now everyone's problem now. We've all got to fix the couch.
Yeah, and then Caleb is like, well, we can fix it when we get there. He's like, I'm a pretty good handyman. That's the thing. He's trying to take over this role. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, Caleb can fix it when they get there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be the hero to come in and fix everything. And did you notice that Robin said this 2 or 3 times? She said, oh, well, I've had hand-me-down furniture my whole life, and this is in pretty good shape. And she said it like 3 times. I've had hand-me-down furniture my whole life. Okay, Robin, it's okay if you're going to get a new couch. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we saw you get your, what is it, Claire's consignment. I mean, whatever that place is. You did get new furniture. Yeah. Well,
Colleen's all used. Is it Colleen? Yeah, it's consignment. Yes, used. It's slightly used. So it is used.
Okay, slightly used. I wrote this down, but I can't remember when Cody said it. He said something like, well, everyone just wants to visit with Caleb. I'm like, no, you want to visit with Caleb. You do.
Right.
So anyway, we go to this restaurant. They crash the party. Maddie, Caleb, Desi, and Christine, Janelle, and Cody. Desi drops some 411 saying that she has been talking to me about him for 3 years, which mm-hmm. is everyone's like, wait, what? 3 years?
And Maddie's like, no, two. Because that would mean she was what, 16?
Mm-hmm. How old is she now? She 19?
Well, if she just finished her first year of college, she'd be 19-ish.
So I guess it's this idea. So if she said 19, she must be almost 20. So it must be like, oh, 2 years. It's like, oh, no, okay. You met him? Yeah.
I think she was 16 when they started talking.
Yes. And then this is where Cody says, I really hope Caleb would live in Las Vegas. I'm like, what about Maddie? Do you want her to live here too?
Do you care what she wants?
He just wants Caleb to live in Las Vegas. He doesn't give a shit where she is. And then Maddie said that she was surprised that Caleb proposed. They went four-wheeling together, and it was one of these romantic spots where they first, I guess, felt all this
where they sexual first tension. Meet out when she was 16.
On top of one of these things. So he's like, well, I'm going to bring her back here. And they tell the whole story of proposing, and there we go. And they have a lovely dinner with Desi. Yeah. Desi seems very nice. She just, you know.
And hopefully Cody, like after dinner, left them alone.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think they had to go back to the house and listen to Cody talk for, you know, two, 3 more hours?
Probably, unless Janelle and Christine were like, Cody, come on.
It's time to go to bed, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, almost like he's a child. Like, he's the kid that's freaking out at the end of the party. Like, I don't want to go home. And you've got to, like, just grab the kid, and knowing that they'll fall asleep on the car ride home.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole time I'm watching this, I just kept thinking about our dad, who is the exact opposite of Cody, who is sort of like, hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. You know, and then barely says 2 words to the guy. Like, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
It takes years to get to the point of being able to have a conversation.
Well, I told you at my wedding, Steve told me this story. At my wedding, Dad and Steve were sitting at some point. I was nowhere near it. And I think Dad at one point turned to Steve and said, you're a really nice, like, you're a really good guy. And that really warmed Steve's heart. Remember, we told him, we said, soak that in. Because that is the last thing you're ever... I said, that is the one and only time. And I asked Steve, I said, did it ever happen again? He's like, nope, never again. I said, well, but for him, that's huge.
That's huge, yeah.
That is huge. Like, he gave you the blessing of, okay, I think you're a nice guy, so I'm going to accept you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But yeah, no, there's no... I have no idea what it would be like to have a father who like bounds out of his house so excited that I've pulled up in my car. I don't know. Yeah. We don't know. No.
Don't know what that's like. But, you know, you just figure with our dad, as long as he's not saying anything negative, it's all good. Yeah. Like everything, you know, it's like just go with the flow.
Yeah. Well, I will say Dad did propose a lot of weird places to get married as well. Like, no, we're not going to do that. I don't know if it was cost savings or what, or, you know, I mean, that part I could see a little bit of, but just all of it, like, oh, and then we can all pick out your dress and we can do this and we can do that. Oh, it's just so odd. You know,
yeah, Dad again. Again, he said, "Well, in these modern days, the groom should have a say. This is in the dress. That's the exact same thing he said about Robin's dress when it was revealed that he picked the dress.
Yeah, he wants to pick her dress too. Again, Dad did not. Dad just wanted to know what things were going to cost and when the check was due.
Right.
That's it. Which is you know, he didn't care. Anyway, so we've got to go see the midwife because Robin and Cody are taking Saul to go see the midwife, April. Robin is now 7 months and she feels huge. And I'm like, little do you know what you're birthing in there, Robin. She's coming out. She's coming out.
And she's a feisty one.
She is. So they're worried about where the baby is positioned, but they found out the baby's in a great position down at the bottom. And then we have to go through this whole thing about like polygamists don't like to go to the doctor because of this. The hospital. And okay, fine. But well, Christine, also, we've already saw Christine give birth on TV and it's been fine. We're now in season 10 here.
Like, right. Really? We know how this all goes. But here's what I thought was strange is that, so the baby was still breech. And she's saying, well, I really don't want to give birth breech, you know, to a breech baby. And I kept thinking, they're not going to let you, Robin. Yeah. They're not going to let you. You will have to have a C-section. So wrap your brain around that, you know. Mm-hmm. But miraculously, the baby turned.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So they come back and everyone's running around. It's time for Caleb and Maddie to leave and Cody and Janelle and Christine are the three adults that are going to go. Christine's beside herself. She's like crying and very upset.
Well, did you notice when she was getting upset in her bedroom? So they're getting ready to go. They're in Christine's bedroom, which, you know, we don't usually see their bedrooms like that. Cody is in there. I don't know if he spent the night there or what was going on, but
no, he had to pick up a coat or something. He's like, oh, I have something I need to show Caleb on the drive.
And I left it in Christine's room. she had the most bizarre paintings on her wall. And I was pausing and trying to see, she had this painting above her bed that looked very strange, but I know it was probably had something to do with princesses and knights and whatever.
Oh, because God, then there Christine.
Was another, yeah, then there was another photo above the bedside table, not a photo, a painting, which was sort of, yeah, like a fairy princess with a knight embracing. And I'm like, Jesus, what is this art? And what, you're a grown woman.
Yeah.
It was really creepy. It's like, this is what you have in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. And also the whole entire episode, the way that Christine was talking about Maddie and Caleb, it was like, oh, it's just, you know, when I was a child, I believed in love at first sight. And, you know, I wanted to be treated like a princess. And she's just going, she's in princess mode, like this romantic love mode. And she keeps telling these stories and she's telling truly, oh, and Maddie and Caleb are going to be married. And then, you know, she's going to get a dress like a princess. And I'm like, oh my God, Christine, stop. Calm down. Mm-hmm.
She was. We've read your book, Christine. We know you weren't that happy.
We know that you're acting. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. When we saw this with Rhode Island earlier this week with the Cinderella and the dolls and the, and the, you know, the castle and the tea party and all that kind of stuff. I don't know why. And maybe dad did us a favor. Like if you have a father that's not going to co-sign any of that, do you then decide? Like, because I don't think I'm sure I liked princessy things when I was younger, but I never ever fantasized about a man climbing up my trellis and rescuing me. Ever.
Yeah.
I never wanted that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was not like Christine, but you know, I believed that I wanted to be married. You know, I believe in romantic love and whatever. And didn't quite work out for me, but yeah. But at this point, I realized that, you know, even if you do find someone who you fall in love with and you get married or whatever, you have to, as Janelle says, you have to save your own damn self or rescue your own damn self. Like nobody's coming to rescue you, not even your husband, really, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to take care of yourself and rely upon yourself and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think it's a disservice to do that.
To women.
Women, young girls. It's like, it's okay. It's love is great. It's great to be in love. And if you mm-hmm. find someone you want to be with and be in love and do all that, but yeah, you have to, put yourself first, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also it's a choice. It's a choice that you're making. So you're not, it's this idea that romantic love is you fall in love and then there you go. There's never another choice. You never make another decision mm-hmm. after that. And it's like, no, you're making a decision every single day to decide, like, is this person still showing up for me? Do I still want to be in this? And in some ways, it keeps it much healthier than this death do us part. It's like, no, I'm not here because I have to be here. I'm here because I want to mm-hmm. be here.
Well, yeah,
it makes a big difference.
Right. And look how much time Christine wasted.
Yeah.
Waiting for something to change, mm-hmm. trying to please Cody, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. If it's not happening, it's not happening.
Yeah. And, you know. So this was interesting that I thought was they were all going around and people are hugging each other goodbye. And did you see that they were really pushing Truly to hug Caleb mm-hmm. and Truly refuses? And I'm like, oh, that Truly, I love her. And I remember thinking like, leave her alone. First off, mm-hmm. she's not in love with him like you, Cody. Cause Cody's right. like, hug
she
Caleb.
She knows him. Yeah.
Yeah. She does not want to hug this man. Who's 30. Mm-hmm.
Who so, she's only met a couple times that yeah. she can even remember, you know? Yeah.
They keep pushing this on her. And it was just like, God, leave her alone. But this is, you see these like early glimpses of Truly yeah. being Truly, of coming out. You're like, yeah, Truly, you go.
Yeah.
You keep
very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like, and another thing that was bothering me was how Cody kept saying, well, this is Maddie's last night at home. And that's why he had to go out to dinner, because this was her last night at home and he didn't care what they said. He was crashing this dinner and he was going to go. And it's like, what a drama queen.
Yeah.
No, this is not her last night at home. She will come back and stay here in this house.
It's Caleb's last night at home. It's Caleb's last night for this vacation. That's all it is.
Right. Caleb's only staying one night. And they both will be back and they will be back to, I mean, it's just so dramatic. And it's like, first of all, I wonder if he got this, I don't even recall him getting this upset when they actually did take her to college. And it was like, that's usually like the big
yeah.
goodbye.
Yeah.
You know,
he wasn't that
like,
upset.
After that, it's never going to be the same. It's like, she's already been away at college and you don't get to go through this again. Mm-hmm. Like it already happened, you know? Mm-hmm. Calm down. Yeah, you're right. It was that Caleb was leaving. That was
yes, and that was very upsetting. So we learned that Billings is 16 hours away, which is why Cody is proposing this, you know, move around thing. So everyone's saying goodbye. Everyone's getting emotional. And so now we're at Mary's house where she starts to talk to us a little bit about what's been going on. She said she's had these daily fights in her head because, you know, she let this person into their world and all the adults, because I haven't skipped anything, high. Because did I miss where they say goodbye to Caleb and Maddie? Say goodbye at the end,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Well, we could just talk about it now and just close that
yeah,
off.
Yeah, we'll close it out, all that
talk
out.
Talk about Mary, but. Yeah. Okay. So if Billings is 16 hours, obviously they didn't drive there because they leave in the morning and then when they arrive like in the afternoon. So, but they all have the same clothes on. So what did they do? They stayed in a hotel yeah. somewhere along the way and put on the same clothes. I don't know.
Yeah. I realized maybe I didn't write any notes for it. I was just so like, okay, now they're just dropping her off.
Yeah. I mean,
and
they
that's kind of it.
They show, yeah, they move the stuff in. And they don't stay very long, you know.
No.
And maybe Maddie told them, look, you know, moving everything in and then mm-hmm. we're saying goodbye.
No,
and
Cody was very stoic.
Yes, he was very stoic. Didn't cry.
They probably let him ride with Caleb the whole time.
Right.
And I was like, let's just let him ride. And then that way he'll want to leave really quickly. He won't, you know, he'll be okay.
Yeah. They had to make a deal with him. They're like, look, you know, when we get up the next morning to go, you can ride alone with him, mm-hmm. but we're going to get there, we're going to unload, and we're going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they did. They unloaded quickly. He shouldn't have that much stuff. And then they left, and then they show Maddie and Caleb, like, kind of hugging each other, saying, oh my God, you know, I'm glad that's over. Something like that.
Like, Caleb, you can bring your stuff in now, Caleb.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. Because Cody made a comment that, that, you know, Caleb lives over here, Maddie's going to be living here. And then I guess, you know, after they get married, they'll decide which house they're going to move into together. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, Cody, you keep telling yourself that. You know, Caleb moved in as soon as you guys pulled out of the driveway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now Mary's house, all the adults are there and Nancy, the therapist. And then, of course, we have to see yet again another flashback to Alaska. Mary explains that she didn't tell them the full truth then because she didn't want to end the trip on this bad note. But it's a little bit like, yeah, but you ended it on a confusing note. Like, mm-hmm. it didn't help. So apparently they were away for parents' weekend in Colorado for Hunter, and she broke down and told Robin. So she told Robin that she was being emotionally blackmailed, that she was worried that her home was bugged, that, you know, that she didn't know what she was going to do, that she was scared, very, very scared. And so she mm-hmm. finally tells Robin all of this whole story. So Robin already knew about this, but so this is the part where Robin comes into this meeting so perplexed, like so confused about why didn't anyone pick up on what Mary was going through and her struggles and what was happening. It's like, hello, we're not even part of this family, and we all could see it from a mm-hmm. mile away. We knew. Every single yeah. person here who's got half a brain cell will go, well, she only has one child, and when that child graduates, yeah, things are going to change for her, you know, and moves out. Okay. Huh? That's the part that really bugged me, as if they're all sitting around going, oh my God, like, what? Huh? Huh? How did we get here? You know, why is this happening? It's like, Mary's been unhappy for a long time, long before this.
Well, the problem is that nobody liked Mary. No one wanted to spend time with her. And now they're feeling badly for her and acting like, oh, we got to be better about this. We have to take care of each other, which, you know, they really don't. Mm-hmm. They don't really learn anything from any of this. But, no. You know, yeah, they're in their separate homes. They're doing their separate things. And even Robin, who, you know, came in being Mary's friend, Robin doesn't have any use for Mary anymore. She's not. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care. Nobody cared about her. Cody mm-hmm. didn't. Cody hadn't, you know, been with her in any significant way in a long time. They're acting, it's very disingenuous, the whole.
Yeah, because quite frankly, Janelle had problems with Mary and Christine had problems with Mary. Robin mm-hmm. dumped you because you had better things to do, and Cody never paid attention to you. So, yeah. Oh, okay. So now you're all, now that it's maybe affecting you or you look bad, mm-hmm. you're all in here. And that's everybody. Not one of them was honest about mm-hmm. any of it. Because you know what? I mean, this whole idea now is this, like, oh, well, we need to rally around her. And I'm like, no, it's not necessarily that. You guys need to talk about the reasons why there is all of this strain. Like, someone needed to say, listen, Mary, I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel welcome coming to your home, and I'm going to tell you why. It was, mm-hmm. I experienced this, then I experienced this, and I experienced that. You know, I would like to have a better relationship with you. I would like these things, but we've got to work on this. This whole thing of like, you just need to tell us is such bullshit.
It is. That's bullshit. They did not care. Janelle has not liked Mary for 30 years.
Yeah.
And Christine said in her book that she, at some point, because Mary was mean to her kids, whatever, she just, she cut it off, you know, maybe 20 years ago or whatever it was. And, Yeah, they did not want to have anything to do with her. They did not like her. They put on airs for the show sometimes, but they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
They did not care at all. They were not paying attention to her. They weren't worried about her. And
the craziest part is when you look at Mary in these episodes and see her today, she was so low. I mean, you know, she's got the Ozempic now and she's thinner, but like her hair, the dark, dark makeup, the ruddy complexion,
just puffy and she's so unhealthy looking, like just unhealthy, like sick from just stress and she doesn't look well at all.
And that's why they were all like, wait, what happened? And I think Mary wasn't being completely honest too, because she kind of made it like, oh, I started talking to this person and they were really nice and they were someone to talk to. And then they expressed this love for me and, you know, it felt good. And, and I think they agreed with, you know, anybody expressing that kind of love, you know, but we were on, you know, these were like online friends. And then Cody's kind of like, yeah, I mean, she would confide all these things. She was always talking to these online friends, but she never talked to me. And I'm like, yeah, because you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he does say that he does feel culpable, that he should have stuck around and leaned in as opposed to running. I'm like, huh, okay. So now you're admitting a little bit here. Like, oh, okay. So yeah, you did abandon her. You did leave. But they're all acting so perplexed that Mary, who's been isolated and alone, meets someone. The person says all the right things. They're shocked because Mary is so tough and so this and that. Mm-hmm. How could she possibly fall for this? How could you do that? It was like, because she was starved for anything. She was starving.
Yeah. And also she was conned by someone who was good at conning. Yeah. You know what I mean? They had some skills. Yeah. But what I was confused about was that she kept vacillating back and forth between talking about this person and these people. Did you notice that? Like,
because she
are these? I mean, I understand this person is the catfish, but then she kept saying these people were threatening me. These people, who are these people?
I think it's the catfisher. I think it's the catfisher in all these different ways. I think the catfisher was the man originally. I think it was the catfisher pretended to be this man's friend. And then I think the catfisher pretended to be other people. And I think that when the catfisher threatened, there was this, we're going to, but I think it's all one person with 15 personalities or 15 different things.
Well, and then there's the Robin connection, which I was trying to do some online research about this today and it was so confusing. This, we could do a whole show about this conspiracy, but that woman, Kendra, who was Robin's friend. And then also, I guess, was friends with, I don't know if she was friends with Jackie Overton or tried to befriend Mary or something. Anyway, she inserted herself into this and she was allegedly...
Kendra or Robin?
Kendra.
Kendra inserted herself. Okay.
Inserted herself and she was allegedly telling things to Robin. Mm-hmm. So Robin knew long... That's what's been said. Robin knew long before this that this was happening to Mary and that Robin was... Because remember when Mary said that she'd be talking to the catfisher and the catfisher would say something about a conversation that Mary had in her home that that person wouldn't have known and she thought her house was bugged. I think it was Robin. Like she said something to Robin and then Robin went back and told Kendra and Kendra told this person. There's some connection there and a lot of it is speculation, but there's a lot there.
I mean, I've heard, obviously, we've all heard that rumor about how much did Robin know ahead of time? Mm-hmm. And then how much did she tell Cody? And how much of all of this is this act?
Yeah, because I don't know. She tells him everything. I kind of think he knew too. Because why else was, he didn't even act upset. He was being so nice to her in that therapy session. Mm-hmm. He was like, Oh gosh, that must have been so hard for you. I mean, he's talking like, who is this person? He never talks like this. And, you know, I'm so sorry. I wasn't there for you. And oh my, I mean, he was expressing all this love and care and concern. It's like, this doesn't ring true.
Yeah. Well, Mary says, you know, Mary's beating herself up because she feels weak. Nancy, who I was like, this is exactly what I would say, which is like, let's slow down here. You're not weak. You've been holding all this by yourself. That means you're strong. A weak person would have melted by now. And, you know, then she gets into this whole thing, I guess, I don't know what to call him, Sam or Jackie, right? Started to question Mary's faith in the marriage and bashing their belief system. And then this is where Robin's like, I just didn't realize there was such a big crack in the family.
Please.
And then Robin, and then this really bugged me. And I don't know if Nancy said something to her about it or not. I don't know. It's a little tricky. But Robin's like, you know, Mary, I'm lonely too. You know, she starts talking about how even though she has these kids at her house, she too is lonely and starved for female companionship. And you know, and sort of this thing of like, I too am lonely. So why aren't you coming to me? And Mary's trying to explain like, well, I don't feel like I can. I don't, you know, if I go over to your house and Cody's there, that feels weird. Or maybe the two of you have said something to her, like, mm-hmm. this is our time, Mary.
Right.
You know? Right. Or maybe maybe Mary has dropped by Janelle's and tried to have a chit chat with her and Janelle had no time for her. Like, you all are sitting there going, well, we're lonely too. And I don't understand. And blah, 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 blah. She's telling you why she didn't do those things. So, you all don't either have no recollection of any of this, or I don't know, this whole thing of Robin, this is not your moment. We don't need to hear how you're lonely too. Raising young children is hard. I don't know what else to say, but mm-hmm. nobody who is this vulnerable and feeling this shitty needs to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with Mary, it was more than just the one child and the emptiness. It's more than that.
No, she, it was love. Desire.
She was not loved. She was not loved by Cody in that way for a long time. And, you know, you could see it like in the way that he treated, you know, she was constantly having to fight for, you know, against this thing where people thought it was unfair that she got an equal amount. She got mm-hmm. an equal amount of money or this or that, even though she only had one child, which I don't really agree with that, but that's the agreement that they made long ago. And that's what they've been following. And Mary and Janelle, they didn't like each other from day one because, you know, that was her sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. To this day, Janelle thinks it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was not a big deal. She didn't think anything of it because it was just a short marriage. I don't really love him anyway. I don't care. You know, mm-hmm. that obviously hurt Mary very badly, and they've never had it. I mean, it was so many things. It wasn't just one thing because she was lonely because Leon went to college. It was not. Mm-hmm. That was
not. No, I agree. And I think Mary is someone who is very, very loyal. Everyone talks about how loyal she is, and they think it's loyalty in terms of like staying with Cody. And I'm like, no, she's loyal in the sense of she committed herself to this family and she was trying to figure out how to make it work. But none of you all really didn't seem to like her.
No,
and they didn't. And so if you can imagine not feeling liked by these people that you're supposed to be loved by, and someone comes along and says, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're wonderful, anyone could fall for it. All of us would fall for it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then Cody gets into this whole thing of like, well, I just feel like I got kicked to the curb for you to start having all these friendships. But it feels like you don't want out of the family, but you want out of our marriage, our relationship. And I'm like, maybe, but you're not getting the full picture here. This is not about, because at the end of the day, I don't think this was really about sex. This was about attention.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wanted to listen to what she had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And no one had listened to that in a long, long time. That's what it was.
Yeah. And someone who would spend more than, you know, 2 minutes talking to her. Because Cody didn't have the time to, he didn't have time for her.
Yeah, because
busy with Robin.
Well, mad at Cody because he wasn't there for her in the past. And, you know, she's very angry with him. And they do. Do they talk about how strained their relationship was? So, yeah, Mary says at the end she's starting to take her power back. You know, it sounds like she got out of this, which is good. She got out of it, but basically saying, okay, you and I are going to meet and we will not speak until we meet. And which was very smart of her. It was very much like, if you want access to me, then you and I need to meet in person. And I won't, you don't get access until I see who you really are. Mm-hmm. And the person never showed up. So that was that.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. I also think that Mary might have shared some really personal things with Jackie/Sam. And I think that was the fear of just being publicly humiliated.
Yeah. Cause that's what the person was threatening, was the person was threatening to leak information about her family. And yeah, they have this whole, their livelihood is dependent on this reputation that they have. And this, I felt for her. I mean, I always felt for Mary. Like, yeah, I mean, I know.
There were definitely times that were hard to feel for her. But
yeah,
now that you see her today, it's once you see who she is today and how she's gotten out of it, you realize like, oh, this isn't you. This isn't your personality per se. This is you in this situation.
Yeah, she was in a cult. You know, so we can't judge people who are in a cult like too harshly. She was indoctrinated with all of this and tried to be good and live it the best she could and do it. And she's trying to do what she was supposed to do. And she just, like she said, she felt like she just couldn't do anything right. She couldn't have more than one baby. She, you know.
Yeah, she felt jealous, but she wasn't supposed to feel jealous. So isn't that terrible and bad? And, but at the same time, she's told that she has to rise above that. And so she couldn't. I mean, yeah, she had been feeling so low about herself for so long.
And same truly, with Christine.
Yeah, it didn't take much.
Same with Christine. She had the same thoughts and feelings. And Janelle didn't, because she wasn't raised in that. And also, I think that Cody really respected Janelle. You know, I think. I mean, not like he could have been a much better husband, but, you know. And also, Janelle just doesn't give a fuck on a lot of levels.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too.
She's not jealous, you know. She doesn't care.
She, because she doesn't give a fuck, it makes Cody want to work harder for her. And the thing is that Janelle doesn't need a full-time husband. She doesn't want a full-time partner. She's never wanted a full-time partner. So this worked. And so whatever crumbs you gave her, you know, it worked for her. And I'm sure that was very hard for Christine and Mary to see as well. Like, oh, why can't we be more like Teflon Queen Janelle?
And I'm sure Cody told them that too.
Yeah.
Why can't you be more like Janelle? Or Robin.
Yeah.
And Robin, she just loves to play polygamy. She fetishizes it. She just, because she's not really living it. She's never really lived it.
Yeah.
Her entire life.
Well, we're back, baby. We're back. We are going to continue our rewind. I think this was just episode one, because this was a long episode. So we're going to look and see sort of what the next episodes look like. Sometimes we combine episodes just because nothing happens in one.
They're like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes long. Nothing's really happening. And or it connects to something that's also happening in the next episode. And you know what this show, they beat these damn dead horses to death. So sometimes it's just easier to combine. So, but we will continue with our rewind. And then continue with Rhode Island until the season ends. And then we'll just go from there. So thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. If you enjoy us and enjoy what we have to say, go check out our Patreon. All of these episodes, we've done a rewind from the very beginning. So you get all mm-hmm. of the rewinds, everything's in our back catalog. We started our Patreon not when we started the rewind. The majority of the episodes are in our catalog.
Well, yeah,
ad-free.
All the rewind episodes are on the free feed. All of them.
Yes, but yes.
But you can get ad-free going back, I don't know how many seasons, but several seasons of mm-hmm. Sister Wives on the Patreon ad-free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And other bonus content. We do hot topics.
Yeah, if you...
True crimes movies, cover true crime documentaries. Uh-huh. And
we covered Christine's book, 9 hours, yes. 9 episodes of Christine's
book review.
Oh, it was thorough. It was a probing. It was a deep, deep probing. Yes. So we have all of that there. And and every week we do a weekly bonus. So go check it out. There are other ways to support us. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can subscribe. Make sure that we are one of the many podcasts that you subscribe to. You can follow us on social media. Tell a friend. Tell 2 friends. Spread the word of Psych Legal Pop. I think that's it. Thanks so much, everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.